Welcome to the 359. I'm Roger Chang.
I'm Ben Fox Rubin.
Apple has a big event slated for next Monday, but this morning quietly announced two new iPads, a refreshed iPad mini and a new, larger 10.5-inch iPad Air. The iPad Air starts at $499, while the new iPad mini starts at $399.
And they're discontinuing the 10.5-inch iPad Pro. So this kind of, the new iPad Air basically replaces that one, right?
This is the confusing thing. They haven't brought out a new iPad Air for 2 years. And now that they have, it, yes, essentially works to replace the iPad Pro. It's larger. It's the 10.5-inch one. It works with a Apple Pencil. So it basically is the iPad Pro in all but name.
So we were talking about this just ahead of the podcast, that it's kind of like they're taking the Air name and making it more like the Pro. They just did that with the MacBook Air. The MacBook Air is almost indistinguishable from the MacBook Pro. The specs are almost identical. Do you think there's any reason for that?
It's weird. It's weird. We were talking about this earlier. The iPad lineup has gotten a lot like the Mac lineup in that it's kind of confusing. There's a bit of overlap here and there, and it's getting harder to figure out which is the iPad you want. Mm. I mean, essentially, I guess this is supposed to be a work level type iPad since it's got keyboard accessory. It's got the Apple Pencil compatibility. I mean, look, these things have never really been that great for the workplace, but
definitely,
they're definitely trying to present the Air as the new Pro.
So from a financial perspective, I was just pulling up the numbers. It looks like the iPad business line had actually done better in the December quarter. Mm. So we'd been seeing it gone down for quarter after quarter after quarter. Obviously, they figured out a way to at least inject a little bit more life into the iPads, but it's still like they just sent out a press release.
Right.
So obviously, their posture at Apple is we're not going to treat this as a big thing.
And I know they've done well in getting these things in schools, and that's, I think, what has helped reverse some of the declines in sales. Also, the fact that they're releasing the hardware here via press release, it's sort of a tacit acknowledgement that next week's event will likely be mostly content-focused. We're probably not going to see any hardware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
All right, so next up, let's talk about facial recognition. CNET has kicked off its latest special report dedicated to this topic. Ben, you had sort of the lead story today in this exhaustive investigative piece.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me what you found.
So facial recognition used by law enforcement has largely been promoted as a way to solve cold cases or find missing children or reduce human trafficking.
Really, these big controversial
attention
gathering crimes, right?
But I went and I got police reports from one of Amazon's only known law enforcement agencies that uses their facial recognition, and largely they were using it for petty crimes, very minor crimes like theft of a bicycle, $12 shoplifting case, which the ACLU, I talked to them about this finding, and they said, look, this shows that this type of technology is completely unnecessary. Why would you create this huge facial recognition database just to solve a $12 shoplifting case?
Right. Well, look, it's a fascinating story, and basically, I think it is a great illustration of this balance between the need to use facial recognition to solve crimes and, like, the fear of overreach, right? This is where we're going. This is sort of the nation state where we're just going to be using facial recognition everywhere.
Well, and that's the concern of the ACLU, that it's just going to be a slippery slope. But in the defense of the Washington County Sheriff's Office, which is the one using this tool, they say that it really speeds up their investigations. Mm-hmm. Even for these minor investigations, it can sometimes take days to identify somebody's face.
Right.
This, you just plug it into the tool. If it's one of the mugshots that they have in their database, it comes back almost instantly.
Hmm. All right. Well, I mean, we've got a lot more facial recognition stories, exploring both the pluses and minuses. There are some good things about it, for sure. But stay tuned to CNET for the rest of the stories. Lastly, we want to give a shout out to Ian Schur and Scott Stein, who are on the ground at the Game Developer Conference in San Francisco. The big news is Google potentially announcing this game streaming service tomorrow.
Ooh. Like a Twitch?
Not like a Twitch. No, more like a cloud gaming service. Basically, the idea that you can use low-powered hardware to play whatever games, whether it's the latest AAA title for like Assassin's Creed or Red Dead Redemption, right? So We'll see. I mean, that's sort of the big thing. Game streaming has started to take off a bit. It's still kind of niche, but, you know, with Google kind of putting their resources behind it, it could be more of a mainstream thing. At least until Google makes its announcement, Laura Grunin has a nice wrap-up of the services that are actually out there now.
Nice.
So for more on GDC, facial recognition, and all else tech, check us out on CNET. I'm Roger Chang.
I'm Ben Fox-Rubin.
Thanks for listening.